Hello and welcome to all of those joining into this podcast this morning. So I am delighted to have another member of the YOPD community joining me, Rose Donaldson. Thank you so much, Rose Donaldson. I said that very badly. Thank you so much for joining me. So the reason why, thank you. The reason why I've done this series of podcasts is for the community of those diagnosed with Parkinson's at an earlier stage in their life. And Rose is one of those. What age were you diagnosed, Rose?
I was actually diagnosed just coming up to 50, age 50. But like most people, I've had symptoms for probably, actually, I looked at an email the other day, 2010, and my neck and my shoulder had started. But I didn't realise anything until a few years later, you know, that something was going wrong.
Yeah. So I think that is so common, and that's why it's important to talk about it and let people know that they're not on their own, to not feel isolated, and you know, let's share our stories, because I think that is the one of the main issues, is that people have mainly might have muscular problems and they're misdiagnosed for year after year after year, and or brushed aside, and until the actual Parkinson's diagnosis comes on. But before we get started with all of that, Rose, tell me a bit, because you're in Glasgow now.
I'm in Glasgow, yeah. I grew up in, you might tell from my accent, I grew up in Dublin, and I was born in Dublin, 1965, a great year. And I'm the youngest of five children, so my parents are still alive. My dad is 91 and my mom's 88, so we've got good
genes.
Amazing! Yeah, we're still living independently in Dublin. But I moved to London in 91. I was a beauty therapist at the time, so... I was going to get a job on the cruise ships. That didn't happen.
Oh, lovely.
That's a whole other episode. But I ended up joining the airlines in 1992, that's right, and joined British Airways in 95, met my husband.
Wow.
And we lived in London then for 28 years until 2 years ago. We moved to Glasgow.
Oh, that's amazing. So you were with British Airways. Fantastic. That must have been a really great career for you to have.
It was fabulous. I had 25 years and I still have some really good friends from there. I left when I was diagnosed in 2016. There was a chance to take voluntary redundancy, and I thought it was time. I didn't want to sort of put pressure on myself. It was long haul, you know, so very tiring.
Yeah.
I have no regrets. I enjoyed every minute of it.
What a thing, and traveled the world. Mm-hmm. I bet you've seen some sights. So what happened? You mentioned muscular pain. What sort of brought on your decision to go and see a doctor? Presumably you've got no, but before you had the Parkinson's diagnosis, there's no one in your family or friends or anything like that that you knew of. So your understanding, I'm assuming, is pretty limited.
At that time, yes, nobody I knew had Parkinson's, except maybe, you know, Michael J. Fox, as everybody knew, you know, the usual. But as I say, looking back at that email in 2010, I realised I had sort of two impinged nerves in my neck, and then it sort of moved to my shoulder, and then my arm swing. So this is over a period of years, and they still, you know, couldn't figure out, pinpoint what it was, except for muscular or skeletal. And then it came to a point where I was kind of, people were noticing I was dragging my leg, but I didn't really see it, you know.
And which side was this on?
Yeah, everything was on the right side. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
And are you right-handed?
I'm right-handed, yeah.
Oh, poor thing. So,
and then, of course, you notice the writing is smaller and things like that. And so when I came to the knee, my leg, when I went to the doctor, that was the moment he said, right, I'll send you to a neurologist rather than a physio or anything like that,
because it got so bad, you know, if it's, well, all down your right side.
So obviously he was noticing trends, you know, towards Parkinson's. So I think Parkinson's was mentioned maybe at that time in the doctor's surgery, so I kind of knew then, you know, even though it took sort of 6 months from the MRI scan to the diagnosis, you know. I was expecting it, you know.
And how old were you at this point?
That was just coming up to my 50th birthday, yeah.
So, but you had these symptoms for probably since 2010, so going on 10 years. Gosh.
But also, I was saying to you before, my smelling sense, which now they realize is a precursor to a neurological disorder, that had gone when my twins were three-ish, you know. So
you were really young. And that's, you only, did you think of that quite recently?
Well, a few years ago, yeah. Retrospectively, you know. Because, well, the thing about it is your smelling sense can go for other reasons as well.
When
you're on that train of Parkinson's, you realize that was one of the situations, you know.
So a bit of a shock. I mean, how did your family take it? Did you tell them immediately? Did you tell any friends? How did you cope with the diagnosis?
Well, I went with my husband, obviously, and he was very strong and stoic, and it must have been awful for him, to be honest. But I didn't tell anybody. We kept it to ourselves for like a couple of weeks, a couple of months. And I think I started telling close friends who had been aware of my leg dragging and my muscular, you know, and they were very upset, obviously. I didn't tell my whole family for a couple of months. I didn't tell my mother for another year, actually. Because I'm the youngest in the family, I'm the baby. She always used to say, "You're my perfect baby," you know. I knew it would be hard for her, you know, but like all mothers, she knew there was something up, you know. But I find that, I don't know whether you find, when you're telling people, sometimes it's harder because they're all emotional and you have to fix them up, you know. And it's very
it's very, very interesting, actually, being on the other side now and knowing how I was before. If someone told me something, said, you know, you don't know what to say and you probably don't bring it up because you don't want to upset them, but whereas in actual fact I'm quite happy, you know, chatting about it, and you're right, it is them. But you know, I think we all go through horrible things in our lives, and it's just which path you then decide to go down. Are you gonna, you know, deal with this the best you can and live a positive and upbeat life, or are you gonna let it sort of take over?
That's my thing, really. I've always been quite positive. I never really look back, and I don't look too far forward. I never have. I don't know why that is. I think that saved me in an awful lot of ways, you know.
I'm
quite accepting of the situation. I mean, after a fashion, you know. And I don't believe acceptance is giving in. I feel when I accepted it fully, like maybe a year later, I kind of looked at myself in the mirror and I thought, okay, this is it. Now move on. And it freed me up, you know, it freed my mind up, you know, to concentrate.
It's almost being the best version of yourself that you can be. Mm-hmm. That's a lovely way of looking at it. But how did life change? Were you working at the time? Did you have to change any, you know, anything in your day-to-day life?
Well, as I say, it was quite lucky, really. When the diagnosis came along, the voluntary redundancy in British Airways. I've got to take this because, you know, it leaves on a high. But after that, I subsequently worked for John Lewis in Kingston for 2 years because I was very open at the interview. I said, I've got Parkinson's, you know, so if I felt inhibited in any way, you know, they would understand, you know. So
yeah,
very good, very good. And I'm used to customer service, so it was a great job to go into, you know. I still had a little bit to give, you know.
You're still so positive and upbeat. What makes you stay so positive? Because I know that during lockdown, which has obviously been quite a tough time for everyone, you decided, what am I going to do? And to share your story and to actually create your own series of podcasts. So how did that all come about?
Well, I think, I'm a mother of three sons. I've got a nearly 21-year-old next month and twins age 18. They were 13 and 15 when I was diagnosed. And I think mainly for them, I wanted to show them that, you know, my life's not over, because obviously for them it was a shock and they thought, all they wanted to know is I wasn't going to die. You know, that was their immediate.
Yeah.
And I was, no, it's not a sentence. It's just a change of pace, a change of life. And my thing is really to show them that, you know, you can get up from things. Life is, you know, crap sometimes, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can get up from things and keep moving, keep on working out. So yeah. I want to be a positive role model, I guess is the word. And then for lockdown, I thought, I was saying to you, my articulacy was, I was kind of losing it because I wasn't meeting you.
Yeah, people. I find this so interesting what you were saying about that. Let's go through that again. So you were saying that the conversation during lockdown was very much, you know, what you're having for breakfast, what we're having for lunch, you know, sort of the mundane everyday, do you want a cup of tea?